If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Luke chapter 2. And follow along as I begin reading at verse 8, where we read earlier, and on a little farther. Luke 2 and verse 8 says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what you have written. This is a familiar passage. Let us not miss the truth and the excitement in the familiarity. Thank you, Father, for the promise of your presence. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A baby lies in a manger. That doesn't happen every day. But it was the only space left in Bethlehem, the only place Joseph could find. But the baby's here. And now it's time for an announcement and some unexpected visitors. The announcement comes by way of an angel who will be joined by other angels. But the announcement comes in two parts. Verse 10, the angel says, "I will bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Good news. That's the gospel. God is saying something to you, people. And it's good news. It's good news of great joy. He doesn't explain it. We'll get that later. But good news of great joy. And then he says to all the people. Now we want to be really careful not to go to seed on this, but normally when a Jew is writing and he speaks of the people, he's not talking about you and me. He's talking about Israel. He's talking about Jews, because they were the people. When a Jew writes about the people, he's talking about Israel. But you know the rest of the story, don't you? You know, first of all, that this story begins all the way back in Genesis chapter 12 when God promises to Abraham that he will bless not the nation, not there yet, but he will bless all nations through his offspring. So in the initial announcement, in the initial promise, he included us. As this angel is speaking, and as these Jewish shepherds are hearing, they're hearing, God has promised and he has delivered on that promise a Messiah, a Redeemer, the Christ for Israel. Now, no one, almost no one, is looking for a baby. No one was looking for a baby in a stable, in a feeding trough. This was not what the rabbis taught. This is not what most were looking for. This is not what most thought they needed. And as you know, Israel rejects that baby in the manger. And that was the process that God used then to kick open that grace beyond Israel to all men. So while the initial announcement was to Jewish shepherd boys about the Jewish Messiah, the Christ, the Redeemer, you know that Jesus came for Israel. He came for all. Verse 11 says, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now remember, when we think of that baby in the manger, and when we will meet him again in about 30 years in his life, he will be referred to as the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he's referred to as the Savior who is Christ the Lord. That baby is Mary's boy. And they're going to call him Jesus. They're going to call him Emmanuel, God with us. But he's Mary's boy, human in every way, except he cannot and will not sin. Because he is also God in every way. And that unique combination will make him the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer that God promised to Israel, that God promised to all men. For only the God-man could die for the sins of the world. Remember, this Advent season is all about that baby. That's why at the beginning of this Advent season, we lit the Christ candle right away. Because if it's not for that baby in the manger, what the prophets said mean nothing. If it wasn't for the baby in the manger, Bethlehem is still a little town that doesn't make the list and isn't regularly on the map. It is insignificant, except for that baby in the manger. Angels don't come in the middle of the night to sing the shepherd boys, unless that baby's in the manger. And we will see a response by those shepherds that is only made possible because of the baby in the manger. There is born for you a Savior, a Redeemer, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord God Himself. The rabbis, they taught that God would send a Savior, but a Savior from the tyranny of Rome. Before them, they taught that God would send a Savior from the tyranny of Greece. Before them, that God would send a Savior from the tyranny of the Medes and the Persians. Because as far as Israel was concerned, that was always the problem. Who was telling them what to do and how to do it and where to do it? Almost none of them were looking for freedom from sin. Almost none of them were looking for a Savior who could pay the penalty for their sin. Jesus makes that perfectly clear as the God-man who could die for the sins of the world. So He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is God. That's good news. That will bring great joy, and it will be for all people. That's very important to understand. In part, because you and I are not Jewish, and in part, to truly understand the gospel, that God sent a way of escape for all. Will all be saved? No. Will all escape? No. But it is efficient. It is sufficient for all who will respond. Well, that's the announcement. Then comes the unexpected visitors. Now, I have attended three births with very great interest and concern. Since then, I have attended various portions of birth for a variety of reasons in caring for mother and little one. And never once did I hear a mother say, "Let's go have some people over. I hope the visitors come soon." No. But as the angel was kind of gathering his stuff and getting ready to leave, you know, he told them exactly what they would find if they would go. And what do? Verse 15 says, "Let us go and see. Let us see if we've understood this correctly. A baby in a manger, that would be odd. If we get there and find it, then maybe everything else the angel told us is also correct. Let us go and see." And then verse 16 says, "They found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby," get this now, "as he lay in the manger." Wow. Now, even in a crowded town like Bethlehem, where the rooms were few, clearly, who would have thought? That Jesus could be born there, and a feeding trough quickly cleaned of hay, grain, and the baby laid there. That angel must have known what he was talking about. And once they saw, once they verified that they had seen what the angel said they would see, verse 17 says, "They made known the statement which had been told them about this child." there in the stable. And then as they left, guys, folks, everything that we were told is absolutely true. The unbelievable is true. And they went back, verse 20 says, they went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. Now, these aren't theologians. They're not seminary students. None of these guys, and there were probably some gals too. None of these, most of them were kids. None of these kids ever went to Sunday school, never went to vacation Bible school, never went to a single Awana meeting. Some of them might have been able to spend time in the synagogue learning, but most of them wouldn't have been able to. But they go back glorifying and praising God. They know who gets the credit for all of this. For what? For all they had heard, what the angel had said, what the choir sang, all they had heard, and what else? All they had seen. Were they believers when they left the hillside to go to Bethlehem? No, they were seekers. They wanted to see. Could it be? When they go back to the hillside, when they go back to the sheep, they're believers. Because all they'd heard was verified by what they had seen. So they knew they had heard the truth. Good news, great joy for all men. Well, for all the people. A Savior, a Messiah, God Himself. And there He is, laying in the manger. The announcement promised great joy. The shepherds came away glorifying and praising God, which should always be our hearts when we've been confronted by God Himself and His Word. Many years later, the Apostle John would put this truth all together in this way. He would say, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only unique Son, so that whoever believes in Him, whoever believes in Him, will not perish, but have eternal life." The promise, that baby in the manger, the young man who is also God, who would die for our sins. And the same apostle who wrote 3:16 also wrote, "And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world." That's the baby in the manger. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that You can encourage us and spur our hearts and minds again to this truth that You loved us You sent your son, your only unique son. He set aside almost all that made him who he is so that he could be born as a baby, so that he could grow up as a man, so he could die as our Savior. And through his resurrection, prove that he is exactly who he says he is, your son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the baby in the manger, there would be no prophets. We'd think little of Bethlehem. There would have been no angels, and there would have been no shepherds going to see anything. But the significance of the baby in the manger grows as we see him hanging on a cross to pay the sins, not for himself, but for the whole world. And then, through the apostles, peek into an empty grave, because your Son, our Savior, lives. That gives all of the significance to that manger, to that baby, and why we celebrate his birth. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.